Good morning again to everyone. We are visiting the trolls, and Sir Julie mentioned that the pastor said if I could teach Sunday school. And then while we were having some snacks, they called and said, "Pastor, smash his hand." And Sister Julie asked, "Could you preach tomorrow morning?" As preachers, we were told to be ready. I work as an assistant to an American missionary, as I mentioned in Sunday school, missionary Mel Brown, a BIMI missionary who arrived in the Philippines in 1980. So I worked for him as a staff after I graduated Bible Institute from 1985 to 1986. And in 1986, he offered me to be an assistant pastor from 86 to 87. And then he went on furlough in 1987 and said, "You prepare. When I come back, I want to nationalize the work." I said, "Won't you get an American missionary again?" "No, I want to nationalize the work." So in 1987, I started pastoring La Loma Baptist Church, which is he started. Pastor Mel Brown now is in Alabama. He's not yet retired. He produces DVDs to give to pastors and missionaries around the world who wants it. And the DVD has the Bible Institute and messages that any pastor and missionary could use. And he also preaches in other countries if he is invited. He's already 86 years old. And from here, from Illinois, we will be going to Birmingham and visit him. So pray for us as we travel. And then from Birmingham, we will go to Los Angeles to visit my wife's relatives, and then we'll go home on May 31st. And some people are asking, why go back now? Philippines is locked up. But I said, that's the leading of the Lord. You cannot explain to anybody about God's leading who does not know God. May 31 is a Memorial Day. So it's a Memorial Day for us, that God is bringing us back to the Philippines. We were supposed to go back last year for the church anniversary, and I had to marry my son in September last year, but Philippines was locked up. So we stayed with my sister in Seattle for 1 year. So I told my son, who was getting married in September last year, I could not go home, but we still wanted to get married. Okay, so we prepared the Zoom. Yeah, I was in my room. The other pastor was in the Philippines. And there were three Zoom accounts, U.S., Australia, and Canada, all together while I married my son in the room. And of course, during the dedication, since it's a youngest son, I cried. I cried, and I just passed it on to the other pastor to continue with the wedding. So God has been so good to us while we were there in Seattle, and the one handling the work is my eldest son, who is also a graduate of the Bible Institute. And I told him we would contact one another through Zoom. And so far, the church is intact and doing okay. And one of the miracles that we see, during last year with this problem, all areas of giving, general fund, missions, and building all went up, even though the people were not coming to church. So God still provides for His work. So we thank God for that. Okay, so I'd like you to open your Bibles in Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, I'm going to read the first three verses. Starting in verse 1, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ himself pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. And Father, these are your people and what they need that you provide through your word. Take hold of me as I now preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There will always be some who will be strong and weak among believers. We must be thinking of edifying others according as the Bible says in verse 2, that we, for the good of edification. And this was the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, as mentioned in verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. Three times the word laboring was used in the New Testament. The word is used to feel fatigue, to work hard, to labor, to toil, to be wearied, to minister. It was first used in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, in helping the weak. Acts 20:35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, ye ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Secondly, the word was used in Colossians 4:12. In praying, Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And the third time that it was used is not to be blamed for being irresponsible, that we ought to labor. 1 Thessalonians 2:9. 1 Thessalonians 2:9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. So three times that word laboring was used in the New Testament. It takes work to encourage others. The word encourage was used in the Old Testament, but not in the New Testament. The word is used to seize, to be strong, to be courageous, to cure, to help. It was used in accepting a leadership role in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38. But Joshua, the son of Nun, who standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him. So God was telling Moses to encourage Joshua, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And in the second time, it was used in a negative way, to encourage someone to do evil. Psalm 64:5. Psalm 64. In verse 5, they encourage themselves in an evil matter. So, as believers encourage others, there are others who encourage to do evil. So they commune of laying snares privily, they say, who shall see them? So the word that was used, encourage, in the Old Testament was used as exhorting in the New Testament. No? In Acts 14:22. Acts 14. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So I would like to mention about how we could labor to encourage others. First of all, we must work hard to help other believers in their role in God's ministry. Each one of us has a role that God has given, and each one has a part on how to encourage others to do their role. During Nehemiah's time, while they were building the wall, they encouraged one another while they were going through much tribulation. And every one of us, as a believer, has a part in the body of Christ. When I got saved in 1982, as a new believer, I saw this American missionary. Pastor Brown arrived in 1980. I arrived in 1982. So, being new to what is called missions, I was just watching him, this American missionary, of what his work is. And when I got saved, there's something that spoke to you, the Holy Spirit spoke to you, you help him. So I came from the mission field. So my role as a believer is to help this missionary. But I did not know the God's future. So my role was, how could I help? So the church, as a mission field while renting, they were folding chairs. If you see those wooden folding chairs. So I saw that and I said, I could help in this. So I started helping after the service. I started helping setting those folding chairs. One young people said, don't do that. Why not? Oh, we have somebody. There's a caretaker that we are paying for. So I told him, do I need to be paid to help in God's work? I want to help. So I didn't mind him, so I started folding the chairs. And then Pastor Brown, he saw me and said, do you want to help in the... Yes, Pastor, is there anything I can help here? So that body folding chairs, and do you know how to drive? Yes, I know how to drive. The church would get a church vehicle. Would you want to drive that to fetch people? I said, yes, I would like to do that. So I started driving, picking up people. I think you call this bus ministry. There is a jeepney ministry. Jeepney ministry, they call it. So I was the driver. And I felt during that time, I could die anytime. This is what I will do for the Lord the rest of my life. Just driving. And I was happy about that. And then later on, Mrs. Brown asked, do you want to help in the nursery? And in our high school days, nursery is you plant the lettuce, cabbages, the nursery, where you put set aside the plants. I said, I'd love to do that. Okay, so you go upstairs to the second floor and tell the one who handles the nursery that you want to help. So I was thinking, second floor, nursery is on the ground floor where the soil is. So maybe they have some soil there. So I went up and they showed me a room, and here was a bunch full of kids running around, climbing the walls. Maybe that's why I lost my hair. No. No. So after the service, I told Miss Brown, I don't think that's where God wants me. The next time you put me there, I might die. So that's not for me. I'll just do the driving for the church. So I would ask you, my role was to help them. And he told me, someday this work ought to be nationalized, that the Filipinos will be the one running the work. So my thing was just to help him in whatever way I can, not knowing that later on I would work for him as a staff, as an assistant, and then later on he passed on the work. And the most important thing he mentioned when he passed on the work, okay, remember this, this ought to change. You were used to, here we are as American missionaries, we ask God for help for the mission work. And your people are asking Americans for help. That ought to change. You go to God also. So we ask God, you ask God. And that's difficult because in our situation, when we see the American missionaries, we see dollar. You know, jing jing. There were some who would ask, could you bring me to America? So they need to see that if the work is here and where God wants them, they work where God wants them. Okay, so it was hard on my part because at the time I was 25 years old. And among our culture, you do not usually follow someone younger than you. And among the congregation, they were above 50s and a businessman. So the challenge for the transition was great. So I told Pastor Brown, you ought to get somebody who's older. No, but I want to nationalize the work. Okay, so by God's grace, the work continued on. So I told them, our missionary, then Pastor Brown, is being supported from America and other artists. But from this time, the church will be the one supporting the pastor. It's not because I want the money. This is how it's set up, that the pastor will be supported by the church. So the transition of teaching them about giving. And to some preachers or pastors who know when you teach giving, they think people you're evil. People would look at you and say, why would he teach that? I said, I just followed my pastor. He's a newspaper boy. He just delivers the message, and I tell you what the Bible says. So there was a transition. And then God bless, and the church got the property. They were able to build the building. It shows God could provide, even though in the mission field. So after the 9 years, there was a church in, like Brother Darrell mentioned, in the province. I think suburbs, you call it suburbs. And pastor asked, could you ask somebody to take over the work? So we asked three pastors to pray for it. The first week, he said, no, God is not leading. The second, no, God is not leading. The third, God is not leading. So I told Pastor Brown, nobody wants to take the work. And I talked to my wife and I said, why don't we go to the next church? So Mrs. Brown, when Pastor Brown asked, why you? Because the work was already nationalized. And Mrs. Brown said, why not? And he said, he's been used to the city. Now let's see, he'll go to the province. He said God provides in the city. And now let's see if God will provide for him in the province or the suburbs. So when we arrived there, I told the people, the God of America is the God of the Philippines, and the God of the province is the God here. The same. He will provide anywhere you go. And sure enough, God provided. The church was able to support us also, had the Bible Institute, and they were able to buy property. So if you ask God, they said that to ask, and then he will give through his work. And so my role then was the transition from the missionary teaching our people on how to trust God to provide for their need. So and that was working hard to be an encouragement to him, because during that time, 1982, he was ready to give up the work. He was so discouraged, problems in the church. So during that time, the Far Eastern director was Dan Sisk, before Brother Harris. So Dan Sisk, they were talking. Since I was an assistant, he always had me in the conversation among the American missionaries. So he told him, why don't you give it a year and see how God would work out? And that was the time we came in. And so during that time, I was that excited to help this missionary. So with the Jeepney ministry, we were bringing in people, and he got excited because there's new people coming in. And so he did not give up the work. He continued on. So every time we would see one another, imagine if I had given up in 1982. This work. Right now, there are over 80 pastors and missionaries that came out of the Bible Institute. In 2018, we visited Filipino missionaries in Bali, Indonesia, East Timor, India, and Thailand. If it had given up the work, these missionaries would not go out. So, as I see that role, to help him, and it needs hard work to encourage others to do with the ministry that God gave them. Secondly, it is a sign of mature spiritual attitude of encouraging others to do what God wants them to do. 2 Corinthians 12:14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. So Paul was mentioning he didn't want to be a burden to the other believers, to the Corinthian believers, the Ephesian believers, especially in the Philippi when they supported him. So to Paul, he didn't want to be a burden to them. And as a believer, we want to be of help. And we teach the people on how to follow up new believers and be a friend to them. It shows a mature spiritual attitude. Instead of me being taken care of, then it's time for me to take care of others. And thirdly, to help others do the will of God in their life. Each one has a different way that God wants for us. Not everybody is called to be a pastor or a missionary. I used to say, I may not know how to make a cabinet, but I can help give you the hammer, the nail, the boards. I can be a help of what you need. I may not know some of the skills, but I can help in some way. So with that kind of thinking, they will do what God wants for them, and I can be of help. There was an American missionary I met. He had what he called the Barnabas ministry. See, the one who introduced the Apostle Paul to the group of believers was Barnabas. And he was not that known. The one that came into the Apostle Paul to continue on was Ananias. And we only read about Ananias in Acts 9. No more else. But he was the one. He said, you go there. There's a soul there praying. And you tell them what I want to do with his life. So the secondary part that people would not know. And yet, God would use for those who he wants to use in his ministry. And that's what my feeling is, to help other pastors and missionaries. And Sister Julie, she was a missionary in the different provinces. We would visit them and help them in whatever way we can. So, to help others do the will of God in their life. My purpose in life is to obey God, what God wants me to be, and to glorify Him. Acts 26:16. Acts 26:16. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So God wants believers to do good works for His glory. There will be times that a persecution or misunderstanding. I know about those because I've worked with a missionary. And being side by side with him, I would know some of the struggles he had. Especially in his background. Although we would not tell the others about it, but I knew about those personal struggles that he had. And after I worked as an assistant, and then he passed on the work, he made me a co-leader in the group of the Filipino missionaries, so that we could help them. So some would not understand him, and he would receive some criticism. So, for me, if I help him, they would think I will be like him. you're supporting him. And they would just say, because he's an American. No, not because he's an American. He's my pastor. And he's my leader. It's not the color. I said, he works for God. And I ought to support him. So, I was in between the two different cultures. So, to encourage, it takes a work, you labor to help somebody. And usually, you'll also be the one to be criticized. So, as we go back to Romans 15, in Romans 15, in verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. I pray that with the different ministries that God would open up after this crisis, new ministries of encouraging others to go on with serving the Lord. And with this, it was an opportunity to help one another. Let's pray. Our Father, again, thank you for this opportunity, even at this time, that you would continue to use us and bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ.